This is baby dedication service, and the Lord just told me to take the whole service. He said, you know, this is a big deal. Parenting right is a big deal to me, and, you know, children being, you know, dedicated for what I have, the plans I have for them is a big deal. And so he said, take the whole service and talk about it. Amen. Hoop it up a little bit. Praise God. Baby dedication here at Spirit of Faith is two things. It's just what it says, baby dedication, which does not equal infant baptism. Infant baptism is unscriptural. There's no place in the New Testament for that. Amen. But there is a place for dedicating your child to God. There's reference to that, and we're going to look at some of that today. These children are not being saved because we dedicate them to God. That's their, they're right with God in their little state before they come to the age of accountability anyway. You know, children that pass in an early age, before the age of accountability, they go straight to heaven. And you'll see them again. Praise the Lord. You say, I had miscarriages. Yeah, they'll be waiting for you there when you get there. Mommy! You know, won't that be exciting for some of you? And there's a lot that child, I remember whenever I was a child, I was in fellowship with God. I remember the day I died spiritually. And but then I was born again, not because, you know, they baptized me or anything, but I was born again because I heard the gospel and I recognized Jesus was the one who paid the price for all my sin. And I already knew at that age I was a sinner. I already knew. I knew some things I'd done. I'm not going to tell you right now because it's under the blood, but just like you're not going to tell me. But I knew I needed to be born again. I knew Jesus was the way for that. And I by my faith, came to him and asked him to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, so forth. And so, but that's not what we're doing today. We're not getting people or children saved or anything like that. We're just dedicating them like this verse says. Psalm 22, did you find it?
Yes, sir.
You're ahead of me. Psalm 22, let's get it here. Psalm 22 and verse 10. Did I say verse 10?
Yes.
Psalm 22, verse number 10. This is Psalmist David said. He talks about some things before this, about before he was born. But he said, I was cast upon thee, talking to God, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And he says a lot about some things in this context. But notice he said, I was cast upon thee from the womb. That means to be thrown over on the Lord. Means figuratively to be dedicated to the Lord. He was dedicated to God, thrown over on the Lord's care. But today, when we dedicate the children, it's two things. Like I said, Spirit of Faith, we dedicate children to God. But number two, we're dedicating as parents. We're dedicating ourselves to raise our children.
Yes.
In the knowledge of God, so God can take their life, you know, so that they can be prepared for what God has planned for them. Amen. So when we read these verses, like here he said, I was cast upon thee, or the Lord, from the womb, that doesn't mean that parents dedicating their children to the Lord just say, Lord, do something with them. And then just stands back and just sees what the Lord does with them.
Right.
No, it means I'm dedicating myself to train them in the way they should go. Anybody ever read that verse?
Yeah.
Train up a child in the way, not the way they want to go. Anybody found out they want to go certain ways?
Yeah.
Train them up in the way they should go. What is that? The way of the Bible, the way of the Word. And that includes the path that God's chosen for their life. Train them up the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So parents have responsibility in this kind of ceremony. They're committing themselves to train up their children as well. So that's David, and so we see that that's scriptural. Now go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, passage of scripture we could really spend more time on than we have this morning, about Samuel being dedicated to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. You can read a lot about it. You can read in chapter, well, let's just skim through here. Chapter number 1, verse number 11. You remember the story, Samuel's mother, Hannah, had not been able to have children. You read the story. And she prayed this prayer. Look at verse number 11. She prayed. Remember, Eli saw her in the temple praying, her lips were moving, though she didn't, you know, wasn't saying anything out loud. And he thought she was a drunken woman, and he said, just put away your alcohol and so forth, you know. He missed it on that one, didn't he? But But no, she was a woman. She said in verse number 10 there, she was in bitterness of soul praying unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. Verse number 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Talking about she hadn't been able to have children. And remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thee thine handmaiden a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head, meaning a Nazarite vow. So she was saying, you give me a child, and I'll dedicate him to the Lord. Amen. And then, of course, she conceived and had, because she's up there praying, and Eli said, put away your wine. She said, no, I'm praying. And he found out that she was praying for a child. And the Lord prompted Eli, you know, say something. He said something by the Spirit. He said, Lord, grant your request, and so forth and so on. She went home, and her husband, she conceived, and she had Samuel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then in verse number, look at verse number 28. This is the first chapter. Verse number 28, because whenever the time came to go down to the temple and dedicate him, which was according to the law in the Old Testament, her husband, I don't know if I can pronounce his name, Elkanah, he said, let's take him up and dedicate him to the Lord. And she said, once he's weaned, I'll take him up, because I'm not going to just dedicate him to the Lord when I get there. I'm going to give him to the temple and they can use him for the service of God.
Right.
Because she said, that was my vow. Look at verse number 28. She said in verse number 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. She's down there dedicating him and giving him to the temple, Eli, to take care of him and to use him there in the temple. I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. He, that's accurate. Some other translations say they, no doubt they all did, but the Hebrew actually says there, he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there.
Yeah.
So he was being dedicated to God, and he was in agreement with this.
Yeah.
He worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Listen to some other translations. By the way, I'm going to read some other translations, but Hannah dedicated Samuel to God for his use and went back home, and in the process of years had, what was it, four more children? Four or five. I'd have to look it up again. In other words, she started having babies.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 She. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, something happened in her physical body.
Yeah.
And so, how many of you know you sow a seed, you get a harvest? So she got some, I don't know, something happened to her. God took care of her physical body somehow. Listen to the NLT, New Living Translation. It says, now I am giving, this is verse 28, I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. That's what you're doing today. This child's whole life is going to be the Lord's. And I like that. Then Message Translation says, now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. Say for life.
Life.
Living Bible, now I'm giving him to the Lord as long as he lives. Now I like this one, the Young's Literal. It says, I have caused him to be asked for Jehovah. All the days that he hath lived, he is asked for Jehovah. In other words, I asked for him. Literally what she's saying here is, she's saying, I asked for him so that he could be used by Jehovah his whole life. What did you ask for your children for?
Come on.
Don't ask that out loud.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, we just like a big family. Well, great. You know, wonderful.
Yeah.
But is that with the Lord's plan in mind for that child? Huh? Come on now, tell your neighbor. He went ahead and started preaching again. Or did you even ask this child from the Lord? And if you did, why? Amen. You'd be shocked by some people have children. I won't go there right now, but it's amazing. Amen. And so she vowed a vow. She asked him for the Lord. She had in her heart to have children so that the plans of God in the earth and her generation could be moved forward. That's really not, there's no selfishness in that. There's no personal desires in that. Now, you have personal desires. Many of you have personal desires to have children. I'm not saying that's wrong. That comes from the Lord.
Right.
But I'm just simply saying you got to move beyond just the temporal, the temporary, and look at the eternal, the plans of God. The plans of God.
Amen.
So with that in mind, first of all, David was dedicated to the Lord. Then we see here Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. Go to Luke chapter number 2. Go to the second chapter of Luke. We're going to have to move here a little bit, if you can stick with me. Luke chapter number 2. Let's just start in verse number 22. This is Jesus. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, this is talking about Mary, they brought him, Mary and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, the pair of turtle doves and the two pigeons. Now, by the way, I noticed this was something that was a part of these dedication ceremonies. Hannah did this. She I forget what it was, a bullock and a couple of animals. They brought an offering to God. They weren't just offering their child. They brought a financial gift to the Lord. In other words, this is a bigger deal to them than it is to us. So they, and then here's Mary and Joseph dedicating Jesus, and they're, according to what the law had said, they were to offer something, and so they offered something to the Lord besides Jesus himself. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Then verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's saying that by the Spirit. Then Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, now he's speaking by the Spirit again, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, after 7 years he must have died or something, and she was a widow of about 84 years, I believe that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she came in that instance giving thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and their own city Nazareth, so forth and so on. So here's the dedication ceremony, and people show up. Simeon and Anna show up, and by the Holy Ghost, speak of what the plan of God is for this child.
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. You go back and you look at Hannah's case. When Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord, the spirit of prophecy came on her. We didn't read it, but it's in chapter 2, just right after what we read. And she started prophesying. If you read it, the prophecy started talking about his life. In part, it wasn't completely about it, but part of it was God's plan for his life.
Yes, sir.
And it came to pass.
Amen.
I believe the Holy Ghost ought to be manifested in child dedication ceremonies.
Yes.
Now, I'll say this. In fact, that's the third one. We had David dedicated to the Lord, Samuel dedicated to the Lord, Jesus dedicated to the Lord. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's do that. Go to the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. So the spirit of prophecy manifested to speak of God's plan for that child's life. Now here in Hebrews chapter number 11, let's look at verse number 23. This was Moses. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you with me? You see where we're going this morning? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. This is an interesting passage. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Now you realize that's actually talking about by faith Moses was hidden. In other words, by his parents. By faith Moses' parents is what he's really saying. Moses' parents hid. Moses was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. All right. So the parents of Moses, by faith, saw something. Now, this is the time whenever you remember Pharaoh had said, because he's afraid of the Israelites, they're multiplying quicker than the Egyptians, and he's afraid that they're going to outnumber them and revolt and take over. So he started commanding the midwives who were helping the Israelites have their babies. They were commanded to kill. This is terrible. I hate to even say it with kids, and it's not, but to kill babies. See, that same spirit's in our nation right now.
Yes, it is.
You got to, I'll tell you, big government always follows the same pattern, and it's on the same pattern as Pharaoh back in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But they were killing the firstborn. But this was whenever Moses was born, and they were supposed to not let him live. According to the laws of the land, according to the big kahuna sitting up there, that big devil sitting up there in the palace in Egypt. And so, but they said, no, God has a plan for this child. God has a plan for this child. Obviously, we don't have the record of it in the Bible, but there's obviously more to this story of the parents of Moses than the Bible tells us. It has to be that God spoke to them about Moses' birth and the plan that God had for this child. And they, you can't have faith. By faith. You can't have faith unless you've heard from God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from God. So they had to have faith. God had to have spoken to them for them to have faith. And told them his plan for this child. Maybe not in all the details that we know today. Maybe not a whole lot of details at all. Maybe it's just general knowing that he's going to be a part of delivering us or something. Who knows? We don't have the record, but it says they did something by faith about it. Say it out loud. They did something by faith about it. Amen. So God will do the same for you. Mom and Dad, I'm talking to Mom and Dad. He'll do the same for you. You need to know God will speak to you about your child. Okay. That was a rare silence on that side. I'll come over here. You need to know. God will speak to you about your child. He'll talk to you specifically about each one. In general, we know God has a plan for all God's children. When I say children, I'm talking about children of God, which we're bringing up. Children who become children of God.
Right.
You know? So God has a plan for all God's children, but he'll talk about specifics with you. And here, that's obviously what God did with Moses' parents. He got specific about something because they were specific in their faith.
Right.
Isn't that right? And so God will do that for you if you'll pray.
Yes.
Amen. He'll give you God's plan for your child.
Amen.
That's part of not yielding up your child to the world and to sin.
That's right. Come on. That's good. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I love something recently. Somebody told me, they said, regarding the spouse that God had for them. They found out later, everybody else knew it before they knew it. And the first person to know it was the girl's mom.
Praise God.
I said, that just should be normal.
Right.
That just should be normal.
Amen.
That mom and dad didn't yield up their child to just their child marrying just any old street creature.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. I told him, I said, that's mama watching out for her girl. I mean, that's God helping mama watch out for her. See, he gave them an assignment to train them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And if they've got an assignment without information, how are you going to accomplish your assignment? So God will give you the information you need. Oh, yes, he will. And your children might not like it, but there you go, he'll do it anyway. Because you're not operating according to what they like or they want. You're operating according to God's interests. Let me tell you something of what you are of your child. You're a steward of your child. Stewardship is the big word when it comes to raising children. And stewardship, if you've studied in the Bible, Jesus told many parables about stewardship. And stewardship, he talks about, many of the parables are about stewardship. He talks about somebody being entrusted with something that belongs to someone else to manage it in the best interest of not themselves, but the owner. God is the owner of your child. But he gave them to you to steward and to train for his plan. He's the owner, and he's got a plan for that child. And your job for a season there at the beginning, first whatever, 20 years or so, for, you know, depending on some things. But they, for a season, you're given the responsibility. Say that words, responsibility. Amen. Raising children is responsibility.
Yes, it is.
And if you don't want that, don't have them.
Exactly. Thank you.
If you want to be an absentee parent and say, man, this is too much work, you should have thought about that before you jumped in bed. Yeah, you should have thought about that. Dads, amen. That want to have, give, you know, make, get a girl pregnant and then just run off and not be a dad. You're not a dad. You're barely a man. Amen. Just a little wee boy, little kid. Anyway, I'll get off of that. But so God'll he'll give them to you. He loans them to you. Do you notice this? They're lent of the Lord. He'll loan them to you to train them and prepare them. How many of you, we know we've been talking about preparation for the plan of God. He'll give you children to prepare them for his plan. Because he's got plenty of people that are being, kids, children in the world, that are being prepared to be mighty in the earth for the devil.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got enough of that. He doesn't need any more devil serving generations. So he's looking for some people who will raise children for the plans of God.
Come on, amen.
So, anyway, tell your neighbor, as a parent, we're stewards. So stewardship is the big word. So God will give you the plan for your child because he's giving you the responsibility to train them in the way they should go. What is the way they should go? His plan for them, for their lives. His plan for their lives, generally and specifically. So what were they born for? Well, I don't know. Well, you should know. According to these verses, you should know. You might not know everything, but you should know enough to help guide them. And, and listen, you don't start talking to them about what the plan is for their life. Oh, I don't have enough time to deal with this properly. But the point is, don't start training them when they're 18 years old for the plan of God for their life. Thank God for mercy, because some of us came into the things of God after our children were partly raised, and you know, there was a little bit of water under the bridge, and some things weren't turning out the way they should. Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for mercy? But how many of you know, bite me once, your fault, bite me twice, my fault? We ought to start learning how God wants families to raise children. Anyway, praise God. I'm trying to say, I'm skipping over. I'm going down this trail. I'm seeing a lot of rabbit trails and I have to pass them up. So tell your neighbor, children are given as a responsibility to raise for God's plan. Well, I don't know. Well, you should know. You should pray. Find out some things. Because if you're going to help them get on that plan, then you're also going to have to help them find the right spouse. You don't want me to get on that. People's standards are way low. Well, they're a Christian, but they're as carnal as can be. They love the Lord. Well, so do bluebirds. I go out in the woods at our place, and birds are out there singing. They love the Lord. Doesn't mean much. I mean, what most people call loving the Lord. Now, real love of the Lord means a lot, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Well, yeah, they love the Lord. Do they go to the church? Are they a tither? Are they faithful to God? Do they have a prayer life? Do they even know the Bible? No, but they love the Lord. I think too many parents don't get involved enough in who their children marry.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not talking about being a tyrant or anything.
Yeah.
And really, I'm not even proposing telling them who to marry.
Right.
But you should get involved in telling them who you're not going to marry.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. For sure.
Come on.
Because whoever they marry, they're bringing into your family. They're bringing that child into your family, whom you, for decades sometimes, you know, watched over your family in prayer and in faith and kept them in the things of God and so forth. And then you're just going to let them go out and bring some worldly piece of meat into your family to mess up the unity, to mess up, come on, to bring in all kinds of spirits and influences and worldly junk. And I didn't plan on getting on all that. Amen. Tell your neighbor, amen. See, a lot of people don't have, their idea of being responsible for some things is very shallow. You know what I mean? Responsibility means taking oversight. Amen. To be the head of something means you walk in your God-given authority. And you say, there's some things not coming into this house. And you need to say at times, there's some little girls and some little boys that I will dismiss from this house and forbid you to be at their house. And watch over them enough to know whether they're texting them, on Facebook with them, talking to them on the phone.
Come on.
Thank you.
Poke your neighbor and say, parenting means paying attention. Pastor, who are you mad at this morning? Nobody. I mean, I'm just having a great weekend. Pastor Debbie's been real sweet to me, and I'm just having a wonderful time. But some of these things have to be said, because we come into the things of God out of the world, and the world has the goofiest ideas about raising kids. Most parents are more a friend to their child than they are their parents. The Bible didn't say, be a friend to your child ever.
Never.
It says, train them up in the way they should go. You know, when you do that, they're not going to be your friend. I'm not saying do everything you can to keep them from liking you. That's not what I'm saying. You can do everything you can to keep them liking you, but you just can't compromise what they need to be a success in life. What you and I fail to train children in, then we have doomed them to learn it the hard way. And that's not love. That's not love. That's actually selfishness. Well, it's just so hard. It's so hard. Yeah. You know, it takes so much of my time. I mean, every day I'm saying the same thing. Keep your hands off your sister. It's just every day. It's just, it's called parenting.
Yeah, it is. Every day.
Don't let them wear you down. You need to let them know, I'm going to win this one. This one's, I'm the parent. Different children are different. Some don't need that much, but some need moment to moment direction. Well, It's good you're laughing because Brother Hagin said usually you get a holy hush in the church when you teach on children or money or something like that. So don't have a shallow idea of what it means to take oversight and be a steward of something. It means you got to use your God-given authority. And I'm not talking about child abuse. That's sin. That's wrong. The Bible said to fathers, be angry, there in Ephesians 6, verse number 4, he said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Say nurture. Nurture is not anger. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what I'm doing is talking about nurturing and training, not abuse or being kind of think about the movie, The Sound of Music. You ever heard the music? You ever watched that movie, The Sound of Music? Remember that Gestapo dad that was a military guy? Was that the German army? Which, that was another, Austria. Yeah, he was he wanted to run it like a military camp. That's not God either.
No, it's not.
He provoked children to wrath. Do some more singing in your house. You know what I'm talking about? But don't compromise. That's a pretty good movie, actually. So you watch over your house and your children by the Spirit. See that the plan of the enemy, see the plan of the enemy before he brings it to pass and put a stop to it. It keeps your children safe. Say it out loud again. Parenting means paying attention. Yeah, paying attention to who they're on the phone with, who they're on Facebook with. Should they even have a Facebook account at this age? Should they even have a phone at this age?
Come on.
I'm not telling you what age, but you need to ask yourself the question.
Yep.
Can I do the talking for them up until a certain point?
Come on.
But paying attention. Come home from school. What'd you learn in school today, Johnny? Nothing.
Come on now.
Don't let them close up and go in their bedroom. Find out. There's some ungodly stuff being taught in public schools today. There was a case just the other day. Parents they sued the school district because they were cultivating this little child's idea whether they were a boy or a girl or not. I won't go any further for the children's sake.
Come on.
She sued them. I said, good for you. Good for you. Pay attention. There's some stuff happening out there.
Thank you.
God didn't give the state responsibility for your children. He gave parents responsibility for your children. You are the steward. I have a lot of opposition to public school and a lot of opposition to... I'm not saying don't send them there. If God leads you there, you follow the Spirit, not what I'm saying. But you just have to know what they're going to encounter there. And you have to know what you're going to have to do to get that back out of them. I would highly encourage you. Well, I don't have enough money. Well, what's money got to do with it? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is good preaching whether you like it or not. So, praise God. Once you know what God's plan is for your child, you are to keep them close to your influence and your faith. Moses' mother, think about this. Moses' mother had him for a brief time. And then Pharaoh's daughter, you remember, found him in the bulrushes in the river and took him in as her child and raised him. And she raised him as an Egyptian to learn the Egyptian language, really to worship the Egyptian gods, eat Egyptian food, talk like an Egyptian, dress like an Egyptian, act like an Egyptian, look like an Egyptian, smell like an Egyptian. Just he was raised, for all he knew, he was Egyptian. But somehow or another, he discovered he was born a Hebrew. I don't know if somebody told him or something. And there was enough of his mother's influence in him already by the time Pharaoh's daughter found him in the river that he wanted to serve God. How old was he? 40 years old. He made the decision, I am not an Egyptian. You read it here in Hebrews. He said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather. Say choosing rather. That sounds like train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart. He'll choose the way of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Choosing rather, praise God, to suffer affliction with the people of God. Because at that time they were being persecuted greatly. And he would rather suffer with the people of God than enjoy all the luxury of Egypt out of God's plan for his life and out of fellowship with God. So she had, Moses' mother had enough influence, and father maybe, enough influence on Moses in that brief time at the beginning to where he chose right.
Yes.
Even after 40 years or however many years after he was turned over to Egyptian training and being told this is our God and so forth and so on, this piece of idol over here. And he chose, even though it meant suffering, he chose the plan of God. Now that's influence. That's what parenting is. Parenting is means you have more influence over your child and the formation of their life, their thinking, their spirit, and everything. More influence than their friends. The school.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Anybody else. Amen. They're, culture, society, Hollywood, TikTok, whatever, Instagram. I don't know where all the kids are now. I mean, it keeps going different places. But you need to have more influence over them than all of that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. The other day I was wanting to get, and this is kids probably don't even hardly know what, what's it called? Twitter is. Probably kids are someplace else. But I never have had a Twitter account. I mean, the ministry has, but I never have. But I found out there were some easy ways to follow some people in some areas of investing that I wanted to follow if I got on Twitter.
Okay.
So I was laying there, it was a week ago or so, and I'm signing up and getting an account and then liking these certain pages. And I was laying there, and Pastor Debbie's in the chair over there, not too far away, and I said, man, this place is a cesspool. You know, they make suggestions of what to follow and who to follow and all that. Twitter is a mess. Just it's the same as every place else. But I said, man, I was telling Pastor Debbie about it. But anyway, these places are, I mean, I told her, I said, I think if you look up the word, the world, remember the world system, look up the word world in the dictionary, it'd probably say Twitter. Everything in the world's on there. Godly people are using it too, thank God. Anyway, pay attention. That's what I'm saying. And have more influence on your child's life than all of that combined. That means you got your work cut out for you. But it also means it'd be a lot easier if you let them have so much stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. So can you see God gave Moses' mother, whatever her name was, I think it's in the Bible, but it gave her enough information at the beginning, somewhere maybe at Moses' birth or somewhere there, for her to know what the plan was and to steward him and take responsibility for him turning out right. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Faith prepares a child for what God wants them to do.
Amen.
Notice how it starts out by faith, Moses' parents. By faith. Faith isn't just for being healed. Faith isn't just for providing things that we need. Faith is for raising children. Faith makes sure that your legacy coming from you to the next generation stays in the things of God.
Yes.
Stays in the things of God. Not your legacy is you raised the biggest carnal musician that ever was, or Hollywood, you know, worldly, you know. You know, stuff's getting crazy out there. I won't take much more time on this, but some of these, I don't even know the names of these award ceremonies for the music, whoever, I don't even know, Emmys, Grammys, something like that, dum-dums or whatever you call them. they get up there and they make the seeing eye sign, demonic images and paraphernalia and all kinds of stuff. One of these ladies started talking about this little girl, Sasha, that comes and talks to her. It's a demon spirit. And you're letting your kids listen to that stuff? and then wondering why they're rebelling. They're in fellowship with that spirit. That spirit comes to this lady, this musician, a worldly musician, and tells her what to do. And she's making these images on the stage and all this kind of stuff. You realize this is demonic stuff? And they do that? I didn't mean to get into all that today either, but I'm just saying, you got to realize what's going on. And 75% of, I don't think these kids are very established right whenever they go, but 75% of Christian kids that go into secular universities by the first year, I think, first year or two, they have already renounced their Christianity. Huh? And you're jumping up and down to send them? Why don't we wake up and realize what the world is doing? They focus on education. They focus on these universities and stuff. Jesus told Brother Hagin, demons congregate in prisons and universities and in hospitals. I'm not telling you don't go to the hospital. I'm just simply saying you sometimes you need to go there. But you don't have to go to that university. You could go to whatever. You could go to a Christian university, or you could go to a Kirkwood or community college or something. Why did it get quiet on me in that? We wonder why the generation, the church is losing members and losing the people who call themselves Christians in America are going down. We wonder why. It's because we haven't woke up yet and found out what the world is doing out there. Well, means watching and paying attention, stewarding them for God's plan. Praise the Lord. So if you're faithful to God to steward this child for God's purposes, then you are a faithful steward. Tell your neighbor, faithful steward. That's what I want to be. Your child is a gift from God, and they belong to Him. You are the steward for this beginning part of their life to direct them in the way they should go. And stewardship involves responsibility. It means directing. It means tending to. It means nurturing. It means a lot of love and care and compassion and helping them learn and so forth and so on. But not just learn how to brush their teeth or something like that. Those are all necessary. Of course, we understand that. But how about learn to know God? Learn to crucify their flesh. I won't point out the parent that told me this because the children are sitting right beside him right now. But they came to me and they said, I've been training my child not to yield to this frustration. They just get real frustrated. And I've been training them what that is and how to not yield to that. I said, that's part of parenting. Part of parenting is training them not to yield to the flesh, not to yield to demons. Demons, not my child. Oh, yeah, little Johnny. Just like you and I have at times. This is tight, but it's right this morning. But anyway, so as a good steward, you're training them not just in natural things, but in spiritual things. Training them to trust God. Maybe you as the parents don't have the money for buying certain things for Christmas that they want, but don't tell them, well, you just can't have that, Johnny. I mean, you know, we don't have that kind of money. Don't tell them that. Say, we know where to get that, don't we, Johnny? God will help you. He'll get you that. Yeah, but I don't have the faith. Step back, Mom and Dad. Little Johnny's got faith. Yeah. And the Lord will honor that and show Himself to little Johnny. And little Johnny will know for the rest of his life. Santa Claus didn't do that. The Easter Bunny didn't do that.
Come on.
He knows Jesus gave him that little thing he wanted. Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So stewardship involves responsibility. It means training. It means directing. It means nurturing. It even includes discipline, which is what sometimes in our culture people kind of poo-poo. And I know there's child abuse. We all know that, and it's wrong, and we stand against that. But discipline isn't all discipline does not equal child abuse. You got a verse? You want to look at the verse? Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Let's go over there. I want to read that. You look at that. Proverbs 15, or 29, excuse me, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. You know, the rod includes discipline. Amen. There's different ways to discipline. The rod is one way. The Bible teaches that. There's child abuse. I swore mom and dad were abusing me when I was a kid, but it wasn't. It was just... My mom was so good, she talked me into making a new paddle. To spank my behind.
All right.
And I even went out and I drilled holes in it and everything. True story, Aunt. I am not. That's a true story. She's good. My mom was good. I really kind of had my brothers in mind, but you know, I'm talking. But she believed in the paddle. Amen. And I turned out all right. Some of you aren't sure, but I did. So a child, let's read that again. Everybody still see that? That's Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Notice that term. One of the verses, the terms that stands out in that verse the most to me is a child left to himself. Left to himself. The context is without the input of his parents. Isn't that right? It's a child who doesn't have his parents' influence. His parents' influence includes direction, correction, you know, all the things that a parent does. Nurturing is included in that. Cherishing and you know, giving them a safe place to call home. And amen. We have helped. I'll be general here. We have helped. This. I better watch how I say this. We have. How should I say this, Lord? I get a check every time I start saying it. I guess I better not say it.
All right.
But let me just say it in general.
Yes, sir.
Don't let us find out that a man is violating his teenage daughter. Don't let us find that out. If somebody else knows it, please let us find out. But if you're the dad, you better hope I don't find out.
Come on, sir.
Because I have dealt with those situations and have dads mad at me to this day. But at least the daughter's safe.
Yes, sir. At least the daughter is safe.
She's safe. She's in a place. She's safe.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that thing that used to come to her in the nighttime and harass her, and then I don't even want to get into it. It's over, hallelujah, because we stepped in. So don't you let me find that out. Anyway, a child left to himself. I don't know how I got on that. He doesn't have his parents' influence. He's untrained. Not disciplined, not directed. You know, discipline's not fair if they're not shown the right way first. People want to just do discipline. It's not fair if they didn't know what was wrong. So this is input from their parents. The child left to himself is a child that doesn't have the direction and training of parents. So they're left to conquer things, whether it be their flesh, wrong thinking or whatever, through great hardship without the help of their parents. And that can turn out to be a disaster. That's what it means. Will bring his, notice the last part of that verse, bring his mother to shame. Somebody said raising children is hard, or something harder. Is not training them right. And then they turn out to be famous criminals, famous for, you know, their names all over the news for murder or something, because they didn't learn to control their anger or control their flesh or something. That's harder. Amen. Being called at 3 a.m. because come identify the body. That's hard. So this compared to that, cakewalk. Amen. Your failure to train your child means you don't love your child. Notice how he says that. You see that verse? He said, the rod and reproof give. Circle give. You're giving to your child. You're giving wisdom to your child. Amen. There's more to giving wisdom than just correction. This is just one side of it. But training and showing them the way to go. If they violate it, then that's when discipline comes in. But training and showing them the way to go is giving them wisdom. Giving them wisdom. We know there's been testimonies of, you know, famous people that were greatly used of God, that coaches spoke into their life and trained them and gave them a lot of understanding. And those are all good, but the parent should be the number one person. Amen. Parents can change the world. Moses' mom did. She changed the world by raising Moses just for however brief time that was, right, to where he turned and wanted to serve God in his later years. Wow. That's influence. Moses' mom, this is affecting all our lives. Praise the Lord. So giving wisdom. Say it's give. It's training and discipline is giving. Isn't that right? And so it's love. Love gives, doesn't it? People say, I love my child too much to spank them. You need help. You need to go to Spirit of Faith Family Church, I think. You need to get your head out of the world, the TV, and... You're giving to your child. Now, we understand there's abuse. I don't have time to say everything this morning. But he said here, this rod and reproof gives something. It gives them direction. It gives them what they are not supposed to do. Do you realize if you don't train them in your house to, like, take, for example, that parent that was saying that their child would just fall into, they would get into fits of frustration and acting out. If that parent, and the parents are doing a good job, they're helping their child, the child's doing well, but if they hadn't have done that, what would that child do when somebody in life treats them wrong? They could act out of that, and before they even know in their head what they did, the police are coming. So that's love. To train that child not to yield to that. Isn't that right? So here he's talking about in Proverbs 29:15, he's talking about parents who neglect their child's proper training. Is that right? And then he's talking about children left to their own way or to influences other than the parents. And neglect brings regret. Amen. It's all consuming time. Sometimes parenting is all consuming. It takes your time. It takes your attention, especially if you got more than one or two. You know what I'm talking about? It takes all your time. But what are the alternatives? Thank God for the word. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to do that. Oh, you should have thought of that a long time before you jumped in bed. Amen. Stewards, and I'm wrapping this up. Stewards, they operate with God's best interest in mind, not a parent's best interest. You're operating, certainly, you're operating with your child's best interest at heart. Certainly, we understand that. But even more than that, let's take this thing higher. That child belongs to God. You're operating with God's best interest at heart. This child, when I'm done with it, are you ever done? But anyway, but you know what I mean. Whenever the time comes, they go out on their own. This child should be a child that God can do something with. That's available to God. That has been trained. Now, that doesn't mean God can't get a hold of somebody later in life, visit them and so forth. He can do that. But why should he have to? Why shouldn't it be that they were trained right to begin with and didn't have to have a huge intervention? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, it's all good. It's all right. A lot of amens. You're hearing what we're saying, aren't you? here's a Proverbs 29:17. You're just there in verse 15. Look at verse number 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Ooh. He shall give delight unto your soul. You just need to circle a couple of words. Rest. Well, first of all, correct. That's correct. And then rest and delight. Your child can be a delight. Oh, not mine. Okay, you need to think about how you're training them then, because this verse said, here's a verse for you to stand on right here. You don't know my son. What are you preaching on this for? You don't have any children. Well, just like Paul. Paul preached on children, raising children, and he didn't have children. So it doesn't bother me at all. It might bother you, but it doesn't bother me at all to preach on raising children. Praise the Lord. So correct. What's the three words?
Rest.
Rest means you're not worrying. Because you trained them right. How do I know when they're trained right? How do I let them at what stage can they make the decisions on their own? Well, you run tests on them. When you let them make decisions, do they make the right one? Nope. Okay, we're not done training then. So you want to bring somebody home? Okay, who are you bringing home? Oh, okay. All right. So the decision's not yours yet. Hold on. We got some more. Now, you got to, sometimes you can pray and the Lord will say, they're not going to pull them off course, but they're not the one. So that might be, you know, tell your neighbor, he can't say everything in one service. Amen. But so correct, number one, rest. That means you're not worrying, fretting, and delight. Is that possible? Delight with proper training. It's possible. Well, then, Pastor, I must not be training, right? Well, I don't know. I'm not your judge. But the point is, you can get your child to the place. They're a delight.
Yes, they are.
I've watched some of you. Some of you have been through some battles. You know what I'm talking about? Dealing with that son. But I'm thinking of one right now. It's gotten to the place they're respectful.
Yeah.
They are calm.
Yeah.
They're not flying off the handle, bouncing off the walls, interrupting adults talking. You know, they're a delightful child now. But boy, the struggle to get there. But it's worth it all. Oh, say it out loud. It's worth it all. Your child will either turn out a success or a failure as a direct result of how much you walk in the light of the Word in this area. You can decide. Amen. Protect them from wrong influences. Trust your relationship with the Lord to raise them. Do you know that God will give you words of knowledge, words of wisdom? I told you my testimony. I'm here today in the plan of God because Walker Schur's mom was a Holy Ghost woman. Walker Schur's was my best friend, if you're a visitor. He's my best friend in high school. And we were in cahoots together in rebellion. And his mom was filled with the Spirit and prayed much in other tongues and had gifts of the Spirit in operation, and by the Spirit found out what all we were doing. Discovered things, paraphernalia and stuff. I don't have to go into detail, but trying to keep the kids from hearing about it. Pastor wasn't always who he was today. Pastor Debbie really wasn't who she is today. When I met her, God had done such a work when I met her, I had no clue. Her past, I had no clue. Because God washed her clean, and thank God. Isn't that good of the Lord? But anyway, but she was my parents, I pulled the wool over my parents' eyes to a degree. But Marcus Scher's mom, she's a Holy Ghost woman. By the Spirit, words of knowledge. Found out what we were into, and by the love of God, dealt with it and confronted it, wanted to come visit my parents' house and talk to us all about it. And I'm telling you what, what is this woman? Who she thinks she is? But she did it with such love. I sat there and started weeping. I mean, I give up, Lord, I give up. I mean, if it's, you're going to tell this woman everything, then you must love me a whole lot more than I thought so. And I started crying, and I told my dad where all the rest of the stuff was hidden, and we went and burned it in the fire. Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. Thank you, Lord. So you as the parent, God will give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Praise the Lord. Revelation gifts, visions. Brother Hagin said he had I don't remember if it was a niece or some relative in his home for a while, back there early days of pastoring. And he said she was used to just doing whatever she wanted. And then she came into their home and they started setting some guidelines, you know, curfew at a certain time, and you got to tell us where you are and so forth and so on, where you're going and what time you'll be home. And so they had some rules. And so she came home one night and said, and they said, well, where were you? And she said, well, I was at such and such. And Brother Hagin said, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. The Lord showed me where you are. Here's where you were. Here's what you were doing. Here's what everybody was dressed like. Here's what they were saying.
Come on.
He had all that by the Spirit.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
They dealt with her about it, gave her some punishment. Can't be out now anymore, you know, with your friends, with those friends. And I think he said, don't quote me on how long it was, but I think it was something like, maybe Brother Brian or somebody knows, something like a couple of weeks' time, she's saved and in church, filled with the Holy Ghost, and following the plan of God for her life.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God'll do that. He did it for me. He'll do it for all you parents. And all you young people that don't want to hear about it, just know you can't win. God and your parents, oh my goodness. You might as well say uncle right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we're not just hearers of it, we're doers of it. We love you and thank you for the children that you have given to us and the responsibility. We take that responsibility. We say yes to your plan. We agree with your plan. We receive the stewardship that you see us having. We take our place. Father, thank you for your grace, your wisdom, your anointing, the Holy Spirit, works of the Spirit, manifestations and gifts of the Spirit to do a better job and do the job that needs to be done. And we say our children will serve you all the days of our life. As for us in our house, we're going to serve the Lord. Thank God. We've made that decision. Thank you, Father God, for these that are bringing their children today to dedicate to you. And Father, this morning they see their place and their role, and they're dedicating themselves to take that place. In Jesus' name, we bless you for it. I'm going to ask my wife to come, and then Brother Brian to come, Reverend Brian. He's going to help us up here as well. We've got three children this morning. First of all, we're going to call Crystal to bring Lewis, George, Benfield. Lewis, come on up. This is one special young man right here. We're already buds, aren't we? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's take this. We're going to give this to you in a moment here, but we've got a certificate of dedication we're going to give to you. Lewis's Bible. He might already have a Bible. I think you showed me your Bible. You have the New Testament. Yes. So we're going to give you a Bible, and then you can get a free CD of the service today back there. And then there's a free book. There's a coupon in here for a free book also. So, Brother Brian, would you hold that for a moment? Lewis, you ready to be dedicated to God? I don't know. You're kind of big, but can I pick you up? You think I can do that? Maybe. I've been working out. Come on. Let's see if we can do this. Oh, my goodness. Man, you're getting big. Let's pray. Reach out your hand toward him as we pray. Father, we take Lewis up in the name of Jesus. We're so grateful for what you've already done in Mom's life and bringing her into the knowledge of you and how you've begun to train her and teach her. And she's hungry, and we're thankful for that. We're so grateful. Father, we take Lewis now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we dedicate him to your plan. He'll be yours all the days of his life. Father God, those plans, as Mom prays and seeks you, those plans Oh, yeah, kite pafuras o sohote, hembreve escatie, vanzase de beta, kite, eta banaye, already inklings of these things in mom's heart, Father. Thank you, Father, for showing that. And we agree that the vision comes plainer and plainer. Sakite igere matsrashite, yelemente, give heed, Mom, give heed to the hunger of this child, and always, always feed it. Always give him every opportunity to receive what he's hungry for. And let these days be days of feeding him the truth and the Word of God. And his plan, the plan that God has for him, will be cemented by that foundation. Thank you, Lord. So we dedicate him to you in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Satan, you'll never have him a day of his life. We plead the blood over his life. We plead the blood over all the relationships and divine people that he's supposed to come across their path and come across his path. We say those people will all be brought in the right time. And also, Father, those that Satan sends to get him off course, they'll never prevail. Give Mom insight into what to do and how to protect her son. In Jesus' name, we love you for it, and we thank you for Lewis. He's a great blessing to us already. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. I gotta stop praying because you're heavy. Can I get a hug? I love you. I love you. Can I get a picture with you, Lewis? Can we do that? Come here, stand over here by us. Can you do that? All right. Give him a big hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Next, Matt and Katie are bringing Cooper. Cooper Jacob. Praise God. Just thinking about Hannah this morning having one child and then her womb was open. That happened to these. All right. Well, we'll give this to them in a minute. They know what's in there. Praise the Lord. What do you think? You look so nice this morning. You outdressed me. That's not fair. Sure looking good. Praise the Lord. Are we going to get a picture now? Before? All right, since we're all in line. All right, look at the camera. Look at the camera. You think, you want to hold him while we dedicate him? Let's all just lay hands on him. Yeah. Oh, you want to come to me? Oh, that works. I knew I liked you. Cooper, we lay hands on you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we dedicate you to God's plan. Father, we're so grateful for the home he was born into, the knowledge of you that parents, mom and dad have. We're so grateful, Father God, for the future this child has because of it. We lay hands on him and separate him under your plan in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Satan, you'll never have him all the days of his life. Oh, yes, the peace that this child walks in, the settledness and the the undisturbedness will bring calm to many that he's around. Oh, thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise for it. Amen. We thank you for perfect development in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Let's get the Bible here. Here you go. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye. You go tell your brothers how much better you are. All right. All right. Where did I put that sheet? We got another child here. Got to make sure and get the middle name. Next is Georgia Lee Warner. Praise God. Georgia Lee. Praise God. Whoop. Praise the Lord. She's a tiny one. You want to hold her, sweetie? Her complexion.
She won't dive to your husband.
Yeah, she probably won't. Her complexion really cleared up. She's beautiful. Hi, girl. Wow, everybody's got to see her. Look at that. All dressed up with a bow. You want to take a picture now? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Remind me of her name.
Georgia.
I like that. I'll remember that now. Georgia, we lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. We separate you unto God's plan. No man's plan. God's plan. Now it's done. Thank you, Father. As we do, we say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, she belongs to you all the days of her life. Thank you, Father God, that you take her life and use it. Father, yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. No man's plan. Your plan, Father. And Father, we ask you to give Mom wisdom beyond her training, beyond her learning as a child growing up, wisdom by the Spirit to know exactly what Georgia needs. And Father, to train her and prepare her for that plan. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you'll never have her a day of her life. She belongs to Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for bringing great glory to your name. Great glory to your name. Great glory. Great glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those lights, they're so bright. Yeah, you saw those lights. She's precious. Her complexion cleared right up.
Yeah, she's got good skin tone.
Yes, yes. All right. Everybody say, congratulations, Georgia. Amen. Oh, yeah, thank you. Here's Georgia's, possibly her first Bible and certificate and so forth. Amen. All right. Give the parents and the children a big hand this morning. Thank you, honey. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We appreciate you as a congregation. Sometimes younger parents, younger ones in the Lord, come in and they're hungry to learn and so forth, and they learn things in service, but sometimes they learn things from you. Just you're sitting and talking and they sort of start a conversation, or you start a conversation. I know you're not trying to preach to one another, but the wisdom that some of you have, you can help us to help some that are younger in the Lord. And praise the Lord. We appreciate that. Praise God. Amen.